What can we do that's kind of a non-threatening thing? This is completely non-threatening as far as the spiritual aspect. Invite somebody in and let them experience what the love of Jesus is all about. They're going to have a great time. They're going to have fun. Men are going to be serving there, some of the men, and I'll be interested to see what some of that entertainment is. So this morning I'm going to try to get through this message without having to switch microphones. If I have to, please bear with me. We had some problems in first service a little bit with the microphone, but I want to talk to you this morning, just something that I believe the Lord's put on my heart, and I want to share with you as quickly as I can, but I don't want to like just go by so fast that we don't hear the Holy Spirit. And then we're going to end with celebrating in water baptism. Today, you see the title says, Be the Tree. Now, they always ask me, what's the title of your sermon? Because they want to put it on the sign, and they got to put an outline, and all I could come up with, I kept walking around my office, what title? Be the Tree. I'm like, Be the Tree, that's a stupid title. I don't want to put Be the Tree. They're going to be like, this guy's cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs or something. You know, he's lost his mind. But I'll tell you why I think it's important. And we're going to look at that. And my challenge today to you will be simply this. Be the tree that you've been created to be. Now, if you think that's crazy sounding, good. Because I thought it kind of sounded nuts myself. And I asked the Holy Spirit, what do you mean, be the tree that I've been created to be? And I believe there's a message he wants to give to you and to me today about our growth and our walk with Christ. So we're going to look at two scriptures, Psalms chapter 52 and Psalms chapter 1. So if you want to, just those two scriptures, if you want to turn there, we'll take a look at them. Also in your bulletins, there's an outline if you'd like to follow along with. You'll find that there as well as a lot of other information. If you're here today and you're a guest, first and foremost, we're just thankful you're here. We hope you feel very welcomed and that you feel very comfortable here. And most importantly, that you're just sensing the love of Jesus, just the presence of His Holy Spirit. If you are a guest, we'd love for you to fill out this connection card that's right in front of you. If you fill that out and you take it either over to the coffee station or if you give it to one of the ushers, take it to the coffee station, they're going to give you a free cup of coffee. Give it to an usher, they're not going to give you anything. So I suggest going to the coffee station. But it just gives us a chance to get your information. We're not going to stalk you at all. We just want to let you know about things that are going on. We want to get to know you. Maybe you're going to say, I want to know more about my walk with Christ. We'd love to help you with that. Maybe you just want to know what's going on around the church. Fill that out. We'll let you know. The bottom line is we just want to get to know you. I'm not satisfied to just open the door, crank people in, crank people out, and that's it. It's about relationships and growing in our walk with Christ. So that's why we do that. So please fill that out. Let us know what you think. Good, bad, and ugly. We love to learn from other things as well. Now, this morning what I'm going to share with you is about being the tree that we've been created to be. And I tell you what, it's interesting to me. I'm going to talk to you about David. Here's what I want to do today. It's a little different. I'm going to kind of set the stage, but then I just want to tell you a story. Can I do that today? It's a Bible, so it's from the Bible. So I just want to tell you a story. And in order to understand what David is writing about in Psalms 52, I'm going to have to go back to 1 Samuel because he wrote Psalms 52 because of what was going on in 1 Samuel, okay? So you don't have to go to 1 Samuel because we're going to be talking about David, what went on through like chapter 17 to 21. And I'm just going to do like just a flyby to give you an understanding of this. But David in Psalms chapter 52 writes this, verse 1. He's saying, why do you boast in evil, O mighty man? The goodness of God endures continually. Your tongue devises destruction, and like a sharp razor working deceitfully, you love evil more than good, lying rather than speaking righteousness. Think about that. Do you know people who would fight to the death for the lie that they're telling? That's what he's saying. You love that. Verse 4, you love all devouring words, you deceitful tongue. God shall likewise destroy you forever. He shall take you away and pluck you out of your dwelling place and uproot you from the land of the living. The righteous who also shall see and fear and shall laugh at him, saying, here's the man who did not make God his strength, but trusted in the abundance of his riches and strengthened himself in wickedness. But verse 8, he said, but I am like a green olive tree. Say that with me. Ready? I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. I will praise you forever because you have done it. And in the presence of your saints, I will wait on your name, for it is good. It is important, those few words, but I am like a green olive tree. I don't know about you, but many things I think of that are green aren't usually good, okay? Except for maybe cash, you know, that's good. You know, I can start thinking of that. Why would he say be a green olive tree? In a moment, we'll look at Psalms chapter 1, but David is writing this psalm because of something that's going on in his life. He says, you deceitful tongue, He's talking about a scenario he's going through where somebody's been talking bad about him, talking about him, stabbing him in the back, setting him up for a failure. Do you know somebody like that? You don't need to raise your hand. If they're sitting next to you, don't look at them, okay? Because I'll get you. Just did it, didn't you? I knew it. Do you know times that when people are out to mean harm to you, and they do it in this pious, contentious, irritating way? They don't care how they do it, but they're just going to do that. How is it that you can live for God and you're doing everything you can, but it seems like the world's against you? What are you supposed to do? David is in a situation and he writes, these people are deceitful and the tongue is sharp and they're trying to take me out, but I am going to be like a green olive tree. And that's an important thing for us to understand, because there's power in those words. Why? Because David said them? No, because it's the word of God. That's what makes it powerful. You know, I say it all that. I am the righteousness of God. Because I said that doesn't make me righteous. It's because God gave me his righteousness. That's what makes me righteous. I'm just trying to remind myself, I am the righteousness of God. David's standing here going, I'm going to be like a green olive tree. He's trying to invoke that power of the word of God, because the word of God is, but the word of God's alive and well. Did you know that? Okay, so when you're going through something and the Word of God has the answer, usually the only reason we don't see the effects of the Word of God being powerful is because maybe we've not placed our trust in it. That's not always the case, but the Word of God is very powerful. We have some gun enthusiasts here at the church. You love to go shooting guns. You love to carry a gun. You love to go out and fire the gun. What makes the gun powerful? Bullets make them powerful, but if I put a bullet in a gun, is it still powerful? Well, not until I pull the trigger. Not until I pull the trigger. You see, you can have a nice-looking gun, but if you don't have the ammunition, or let's say you've got the clip on one side, the gun on the other, and you go, yeah, I've got a gun. Yeah, you've got a gun, but is it powerful? I'm talking powerful, like when you pull it, you load it, and you jack the, I don't know anything about guns, kakak, you know, one of those, and then you aim, and then pow, dunamis power comes out of that gun. The Word of God is the same way. It's got this ability, this power in it, that if you were to take the gun, load that sucker, aim it at your circumstances, troubles, problems, not people necessarily, bam, dunamis power comes from the Word of God. Why? Because I am like a green olive tree. You'll find out in a moment this green olive tree is one that's planted in the house of God. And if you're planted in the house of God, you know that you address the spiritual behind what's going on in the visible. You just don't go blow people away because they irritate you, even though you want to. So you got to see what you can't see. If you know somebody in your life that irritates the snot out of you, well, chances are, yeah, maybe they are in their personality a little bit irritating, but a lot of times it's because there's something spiritual behind that that's going on. That's just trying to twist and turn and make life more difficult. So you will do something in a way of response that's wrong. Now both of you end up losing. David is in a situation. I need to stay on track here. David is evoking the power of the Word of God. The Word of God is powerful, by the way, not because our church attendance. You know that, right? The bigger the church, the more powerful you are. No. The power is not found in singing the songs. The songs are great, and we can feel like we're becoming powerful. You feel the Holy Spirit moving in your heart. That's good, but that's not where the power's at. The power's not in the sermon or the message that's being spoken, though your heart may get stirred, and that's good. That's the Holy Spirit, but the sermon in itself is not powerful. It's the Holy Spirit in the midst of that. It's His words that make them, the Word of God that makes them powerful. So this morning, I believe God would simply say, be the tree that you've been created to be. I almost want to stop right there and say, see you next week. Because I want you to go home and go, what the heck was he talking about? Being the tree that you've been created to be. I was at a meeting and there was a pastor, it was a leadership meeting, and he said this to me, in essence, to all of us, be who God's created you to be. And then he said, you see that tree outside that window? And we looked out there, and there's, I'm going to call it an oak tree. I don't know what kind of tree it was, but it was big, it was tall, it was round, it was strong. He said, let's say that thing produced some oranges on that tree. How weird would that be? I said, yeah, that'd be really kind of jacked up, kind of weird stuff. Oak trees don't produce oranges, so if an oak tree produces an orange, something's wrong with the oak tree. What kind of a tree produces oranges? It's not a trick question, go ahead. Orange tree, okay. Apple trees produce... Okay, so if you go up to an apple tree and find an orange, or an orange tree and find an apple, you kind of scratch your head and go, I don't understand what's going on here. You see something that's, the tree's not living up to its potential. You might say, I know, it's doing even beyond that. It's creating something new. No, that's not, it's not being the tree that it's been created to be. Some of us sometimes get stuck and we miss out on the fact that we've got all that we need to do what it is God's called us to do. Some of you here today have so much potential inside of you, but you don't see it. And because you don't see it, you therefore deem it, I have no fruit. I'm not important. I don't have a plan. I don't have a purpose. But that's not what God sees. God sees you as a green olive tree. You know, many times we sell ourselves a little bit too short. And God wants us to understand that He's got great promises for you and for me. And He wants us to become this tree that He's called us to be. How many of you have ever gone through difficult situations in life? Yeah, we all have. If you did not raise your hand, you're going to be going through one soon. You know, you're welcome. What I specifically want to address today is this. It's when you face the difficult situations, how will you respond to them? Rather than saying, Lord, how may I avoid chaos in my life? Because that prayer, that's not going to work, by the way. It's, Lord, when I face chaos, how should I respond to the chaos I'm facing? What is my response to be when my husband comes home and he's been out doing whatever and he's not telling me and he's not involving me? What's my response to be to my wife when she talks to me or treats me that way? What's my response to my kids when we're trying to raise them up and they're all, you know, head spinning, vomiting pea soup stuff, you know? How am I supposed to deal with all of that? How am I supposed to deal with my boss who's just using me and doesn't want to pay me for this? What am I supposed to do? Because your response is going to be one of the most important things. It's going to be one of the most important things. And he says, be like a tree. Did you know there's a lot of tree references in the Bible? I never thought about it too much until I read this verse. I'm like, be like a green olive tree. And I'm like, why would I want to be? I know, right? Why would I want to be like a green olive tree? And I looked and I thought, as I referred to this, did you know there's, for example, here's just some of them. You got in Genesis, you got two trees there, right? You got the tree of life and you got the tree of knowledge of good and evil, right? You look in Exodus, you've got the burning bush, which was really a tree. It's in the tree family. There was the crib scene in Luke chapter 2. What do you think the crib was made of? Wood. Where did the wood come from? Tree. Jesus was crucified on a cross. It was a tree. There was wood, that the tree that was turned the waters of Marah from bitter to sweet. Do you remember that? That was a tree that there's in Psalms 92, it talks about the cedars of Lebanon, their trees. Nathaniel in John chapter 1 sat underneath a tree. Do you remember what kind of tree? Fig tree. He was under a fig tree. Then you got Zacchaeus, who was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. He climbed up inside a... You all know that one, don't you? Sunday school's kicking in now. Mark 8 talks about the guy that was receiving his vision, and he says, it's kind of blurry. I see men like trees. See men like trees. John 15 talks about the true vine. The tree family. And I started paying attention to this a little bit more, and it goes on and refers to trees. And if I thought, I don't understand. Be like a green olive tree. And it's important because here's what a tree represents. And you can fill the blanks in as they go. A tree represents this. A tree is where you find strength through a willingness to submit. When you're talking in the Bible, when he says, I want you to be like a tree, he says, I want you to have a strength inside of you that is not found within you, but comes when you are willing to submit, surrender, give up, or be willing to die to something. When you plant a seed, that seed, let's say it's, give me a seed of something, I don't know, tomato plant, tomato, do they have seeds? Mustard seed, okay, mustard seed, perfect. We went scriptural on it, right? Plant the mustard seed. What happens is if that seed, once planted, is going to become what it's supposed to be, what has to happen to the seed? Has to die. Has to die. Until that seed is willing to die, new life can't come. And by the way, until it dies, you know, it could hold on and say, no, I want to live. I want to be the greatest mustard seed ever. It's always, its maximum potential is going to be the size of that mustard seed, which is really, really small. But if it is willing to die, then there's new life that can come, and there's going to be an enormous growth that you cannot believe that will produce fruit that would blow your mind, but you will never see it or experience it until you're willing to let something die in your life. He says, I want you to be a tree, have a strength inside of you that comes only when you're willing to submit or surrender to his lordship. But he said, not only that, David, I want you to be an olive tree. Olives were very productive and useful. So he says, I want you to be strong, but I want you to be productive, and I'm going to cause you to be useful for the kingdom of God. Not only are you going to be an olive tree, but I want you to be a green olive tree. Why would I want to be a green olive tree? Some of you here have green thumbs. You know what I mean? You know planting. You know how to do that and make things live. I've got the green chokehold. I know how to kill plants. Okay? You want a brown plant? Put it in my office. Because I start looking at that. I don't pay attention to those too much. You see, the reason green's important is because green signifies full of life, purpose, and potential. So ultimately, when he says, I'm calling you to be a green olive tree, what it boils down to is whatever you're going to do in life, God desires you to be the tree that he's created you to be. The problem comes in when we don't see ourselves the way that God sees us. Because if we did, we would see that we've been created and given to be full of life, with purpose and potential, productive in all that we do, useful to the kingdom of God, and discovering that as we're willing to submit and surrender to his lordship. Let me show you what it looks like when you be the tree that God's created you to be. Look at Psalms chapter 1. Let's flip over there. When you are willing to surrender, it says in verse 1, chapter 1, blessed is the man who walks in the counsel of the ungodly. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the paths of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Verse 3, he shall be like a what? A tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in season, whose leaves leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. If you will be the tree God created you to be, you will be planted by the waters, you will constantly be fed, you will be refreshed, you will be productive, you will be useful, you will be fruitful. Not fruity, fruitful. God will allow there to be something, just not a weirdness, there's actually something coming out of this. He says that when you and I give our lives to Jesus, receive him as our Savior, we have a kingdom mentality. We belong to his kingdom now. And he says, when you do that, you will be like a tree. One that's planted by waters, you will have life. One that will bring forth fruit, you will be productive. David understood this. And I told you I was going to have to refer over to Samuel to give you the understanding of Psalms 52. And so I'm going to give you the flyby. You okay with that? I'm going to tell the story of 1 Samuel 17 through 22 in hopefully 5 minutes. Because we got to understand David's heart in the midst of writing this. David has just defeated his Goliath. Do you remember David and Goliath? Yeah? David and Goliath. David defeats Goliath, 9 foot 9 inches of ugly that was taunting him. And little shepherd boy David was able to take him out. So everyone's singing his praises. And they're saying, Saul has killed his thousands, but David his 10,000. Saul was the king, right? And loved David. Until people started singing David's praises. And jealousy started to set in. You ever see somebody who's jealous? It's also something that's called green, isn't it? And it's very ugly. Because it's like a cancer. It gets in there and it eats away at you. And when you become jealous of something that somebody else has, you will always stay focused on what they have and you don't. And you'll never see what you do have. And if you can't be trusted with that which you do have, God doesn't give you more. So jealousy is just a vicious cycle. Saul is jealous of David. And David doesn't know what to do at this point because he knows that Saul, you know, though he's enraged and he's jealous, he doesn't know what to do, so he decides that he's going to flee from the presence of Saul. Saul has been rejected as king at this point because he disobeyed the Lord. David is being anointed by the Lord to be king, but that switch hasn't happened yet. Stepping into that authority hasn't happened. So David is still honoring Saul in his position, even though that anointing is not any longer there. Let me give you a little side note, by the way. When God gives you a plan for your life, and when he gives you a promise, his promise will come to pass. You know that? His promise will come to pass. But make sure that you are honoring God in the season that you're currently in until God's timing kicks in. You make sure to honor God where you're at with what you have until he brings you to that place of the promise. So David figures this. He says, the best thing I can do at this point is to flee the presence of Saul. So David is on the run, and he seeks help in the land of Nob. Now, it sounds like a bad Shrek movie about to happen here, but he goes to the land of Nob, and there's a priest there by the name of Ahimelech. And Ahimelech doesn't know that this is all going on, bad blood between Saul and David. All he knows is David's a giant killer, right? I mean, he's the man. He took him out, and him and Saul, you know, they're doing all right. They must be, but yet Ahimelech, the priest, is a little bit disturbed because David showed up alone. David doesn't travel alone. You know, he brings people around him and surrounds him. So he was a little bit like, I wonder why David is here. Now, David, out of fear, does something that many of us do when we become afraid. And he lied. You know, that's one of the reasons I love David. Not because he lied, but because he lied, cheated, stole. But yet, when the Lord confronted him, he humbled his heart and said, Father, forgive me. I love that because I know how many times I've cheated, lied, stole, and I was headed for a Christless eternity. And Jesus showed up and gave me a second chance. And I told him, I said, God, how can you use me? And he said, well, go read your Bible. I used a lot of people who screwed up. So I read my Bible, and I'm like, man, you sure did. I like David because David really screwed things up bad. I mean, like, whoo! And if David can be called a man after God's own heart, then there's hope for me. And David, though he makes mistakes, see, out of fear, he lied because here's what happened. While he was there, he told Ahimelech in 1 Samuel 21:2, he said to Ahimelech the priest, he said, hey, the king has ordered me on some business and said to me, don't let anyone know about the thing or the business on which you're dealing with. He lied to Ahimelech and didn't want to tell him what was going on. I think he was maybe trying to protect him, but here's what happened. He lied because of his fear. We'll talk more about the fear in a moment. But while in Nob, a certain man by the name of Doeg was there. Have you ever heard of him? Doeg? You ever heard of that name? Yeah, it's one of those names I can tell you this. I've never preached on the guy before. I had to go look up how to pronounce his name. Doeg. But he stuck out to me because, and it's like dough, like cookie dough, and egg, like, egg. Okay, dough, egg, Doeg. Doeg, that's who he is. Doeg was chief of all the sheep, the herdsmen in Saul's kingdom. He was in a managerial position. He was a supervisor. He was an overseer. But what you find out is that this man Doeg, verse 9, it says, Doeg the Edomite was set over all the servants of Israel. And so he was an overseer, and he kind of took care of all the things. And the name Doeg means fear and anxiousness. Fear and anxiousness. You know, I got a question this morning that I'll ask you, that I ask myself, is this. Do I have any dogs in my life? Things that fear and anxiety are controlling? Things that I'm being anxious about. What if that doesn't come through? And what if this doesn't happen? And what if this doesn't sell? And what if I can't buy that? And what if the market crashes? And what if we have an earthquake here? And what if we do this? And what if we do that? Anxiousness, fear gets in there and starts controlling that. See, let me take you back to a moment ago. David lied about what he was doing on his mission. He made a bad decision, and he did so because he was afraid and that there was fear in his heart. Now here's a man who's about to squeal on him to Saul because he was, remember, David's fleeing from Saul. He goes to the land of Nob, and all of a sudden he runs into Doeg. Don't you hate it when you're out trying to do something sneaky and deceptive, and God puts somebody in the path that sees you doing it? That's Doeg. He was in it for himself, though. Doeg was a pot stirrer. You probably know a few of those people, right? They like to stir the pot. Doeg was an entitled person. Doeg was one who was just out to make a name for himself. And 1 Samuel 22:9 tells us that Doeg went to Saul and told him, hey, I saw David. You're after him, right? I saw him. He's in Nob. He's talking to Ahimelech. The priest gave him bread, gave him Goliath's sword. He's helping him out. He squealed on him. And you know why he did it? Because he wanted to get close to Saul. He wanted to kiss up and get the position and all of that stuff. He didn't care anything about anyone else except himself. And we know that Doeg was a man who was only looking out for himself, and he was a self-promoting person because it says that as soon as he saw David, number one, he ran to go tell. You remember that with your kids? I'm telling. And they go running off. There went Doeg. He wanted to go tell Saul. But secondly, when Saul came along with his army to the land of Nob to talk to the priest, he said, hey, what's going on? Why are you helping David? I can't believe you equipped him. I can't believe that you gave him a sword. I can't believe that you've been, death to anybody. Saul was so enraged with jealousy, he said, kill them all. And the guardsmen, they wouldn't do it. If you read the story, you'll find out the guardsmen said that they would not do it. But Doeg said, I will. He stood up and he was quick. He killed the priest. He killed every man, every woman, every child, all the oxen. Why? Because he so wanted to make a name for himself. But there was one man that escaped. And when he escaped, he went to David to tell David what had happened. And in verse 22 of 1 Samuel, it says that David knew. It says, the man came and told him, he said, this all took place, this all happened. Ahimelech, the priest, and everyone, they're all gone because they helped you. And David was so discouraged. And he said, I knew it. He said, I knew it. I knew it when I was in Nob and I saw Doeg. I knew he was going to open his big fat mouth and he's going to go run into Saul. And I knew it. I just knew it. You ever end up in those times when you just knew it? You see, David, remember, he thought he had it under control. He loves the Lord, okay? Right? Are you with me on this? He loves the Lord. But when in a position where the pressure came on, he decided to call an audible. And when he called an audible, he said, I'm going to go tell the priest I'm on a mission when I'm really not. God never told him to do that. He called an audible, and it ended up costing the lives of people. He said, I knew it. I knew I shouldn't have done that. And he's so discouraged. He's so disappointed. And at this point, he's so depressed. He sits down and he writes out Psalms 52. They're after me, Lord, and I don't know what to do. Everywhere, deceit, deception, manipulation. But he says in verse 8, but I am like a green olive tree. He was making a choice. David knows that he's been selected by God and that he's been chosen. But have you ever noticed that even when you know that God's for you, sometimes you just feel like the world's against you? You ever feel that way? What do you do? Well, the answer is, well, you be the tree that God created you to be. But the next question is, how? How do you do that? I just want to give you three things and then I'll be done. Because I believe this. I believe there's many people here that have been in David's position. You love the Lord. Maybe you made an unwise choice. And maybe somebody else had to pay the price. But now we need to learn, when I face chaos next time, how should I respond? Number one, write this down. Seek the Lord before seeking a response. That's the first thing. That's what David did. He sought the Lord. Just like David, we're going to face difficulties. And the question will never be, how can I avoid chaos in my life? The question will be, when I face that chaos, what should my response be in the midst of it? That's what's going to make all the difference in the world. In a war is not started by the first shot that's fired. It's always started by the second shot in response to the first. That's what starts a war, the response. See, sometimes we've been in battles in our marriages or in our just friendships or relationships, not just because of what somebody said, but because of how we responded to what they said. And it made it 10 times worse. Our responses are very important. That's why we must seek the Lord before we seek responding to whatever it is that's going on in your life. Many times I know I found myself guilty of trying to defend myself and, you know, let people know I'm right. But it doesn't matter, because if I'm right, but I still had a bad attitude, I still lose. So I need to seek the Lord first. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't defend yourself if somebody's verbally attacking you, trying to drag your name through the mud and defame your name. Make sure that you seek the Lord before seeking a response. And what are you supposed to do? Well, notice that David said in verse 8, he said, but I will be like a green olive tree. But he continued on. Here's how you do it. In your outline, it says, but I, verse 8, that bottom there, here's how you do it. I trust, I praise, I wait. Write them down, but live them out. I trust, I praise, I wait. He said, I will be like a green olive tree in the house of God. That's the location of where he's at. But then he goes on and says, but I'm going to do that by trusting in the mercy of God. I will praise you forever, and I will wait upon your name. David, out of fear, sought his own thinking in the land of Nob instead of seeking the Lord first. And look what happened. It was a mess. Does that mean David's eliminated from being used by God? Absolutely not. I'm so thankful God is a God of second chances, third chances, fourth chances, fifth chances, sixth chances. I mean, I could do this from now till the time I die, and God would still give more chances than that. Well, does that mean I can do whatever I want and God's just going to give me another chance? Yeah, go ahead. Do whatever you want. God is a God of grace. But God, if you can figure that out in your own thinking of how to manipulate God, don't you think God knows what you're thinking? After all, he created your brain. We've got to make sure that we seek him before anything or anyone else. When you seek the Lord first, Like Uncle Si says on Duck Dynasty, I got your back, Jack. God says, if you seek me first, then I've got your back. Don't worry, we have water baptism going on. And Matthew 6 tells us that. Matthew 6, 33. Seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness. And what? Do you remember? All of these things will be added to you. When? When I seek the Lord first. He says in Psalms chapter 27, 8. I like this verse because it says, when you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. There was no question, no hesitation. You know what I always hated? I probably loved this question as a kid. Hate it now as a parent. Why? When I was a kid, why? And you know, the parental answer, because I said so. Or as my son tells me now that I understand, is he says, hey, can I do something? If I say, we'll see, he leans to his friend and says, that means no. We've got to understand that God is bringing us to a place where he says, seek my face. When you seek me first, I got blessings I'm going to pour out into your life. When you seek him first, he says, I'll add to your life. But if you choose not to seek me first, then you miss out on the full blessing. So seek the Lord first and then respond. Number two, write this down. Make sure that you're planted in the right soil. If a tree is going to grow, a tree needs to be planted in the right soil. If you're going to plant a tree, I'm not an overboard enthusiast on planting trees and understanding soils, but I do know this. If you want to grow a tree, find some ground that's got some green going on, right? I mean, it's got some moist or fresh dirt at least, or something that you know that can be watered. At least this tree will have a chance. But if you go out to the desert, you find some old gravel patch, dig up a hole there and plant a tree, chances are you're not going to have a very successful tree grow. See, when you plant a tree in a place where there's the right soil, it has the nutrients and it has the freshness of the soil, life can happen. But if you plant it in a dry place, that's all you're going to get. You're going to get dry in return, a parchedness that's going to take place. It'll be very brittle and dry. That's all you're going to get back. You see, where you decide to plant a tree and the success of that tree growing depends more on the soil that you plant it in than anything else. And David said, I'm going to be like a green olive tree in what? Do you know? The house of God. He didn't just say, I will be a green olive tree. Where? I don't know. No, he said, in the house of God. So in other words, he is who he is, not because of who he is, but because of where he's planted his roots. My question to you this morning is, where have you planted your roots? Is it in yourself? Is it in others? Do you find your worth and your meaning in life and sexual relationships with others out of the bounds of marriage? Do you find them in abusing or using things that you think are going to bring you to a place that you'll arrive and somehow you're going to be happy all the days of your life? It's not going to last. I can guarantee you the only thing that will last is when you plant your roots in a relationship with Jesus. Oh, but if I do that, it's going to cost. Yeah, it's going to cost. There's always a cost to something that's valuable. If you want something cheap, then you just keep doing what you're doing. But he says, if you want something that's valuable, then yeah, plant your roots deep in the house of God. Make sure that you're planting in the right soil. Here's the other thing. Have you ever noticed that sometimes in order to get a plant, flower, tree, whatever, to grow good, what do they throw on it? Yeah, a big old pile of manure. You look at that and you'd say, somebody crapped on my tree. And you could get mad. Sorry, I just had to say it that way. You could get offended. You could say, this stinks. This isn't fair. Why did anyone crap on their tree? Why are you doing it on mine? But you and I both know that when you do that in plant life, they do it for a reason. They don't just throw it here and throw it there because they got nothing else to do with it. They know that when manure is put upon a plant or a tree, it fertilizes it in such a way that it gives it that extra boost of life. Now, I'm not suggesting that God is in the business of continually wanting to dump on you. But I'm telling you this, that sometimes when you go through stinky situations, you're going to find out that you will become stronger because of it, and your roots will grow deeper because they have to draw from a different source than just itself. Make sure that you're planted in the right soil. Number three, trust God to produce the fruit. Trust him to produce the fruit. Remember Psalms 52 said, I trust, I praise, I wait. That's our job. We must do that. Because if we don't trust the Lord to be the one to produce the fruit in our lives, then we're going to settle for second best. That's never going to be good enough. It won't satisfy. We trust, we praise, we wait. And then what happens? Psalms 1:3, the second half of the verse says, says that your leaf will never wither, and whatever, say whatever.
Whatever.
Say it like a teenager. Whatever. I always hated that. Whatever. Right? And then they do the whole hammer. Just do that. It's like, I don't even want to waste my breath on you, so I'm just going, whatever. And well, guess what? You got God looking back at you now going this. He says, listen, I want you to be like a green olive tree planted by the waters, and if you trust in me, whatever you do, you will prosper. You will prosper. Why? Because God is that good. We have a hard time believing that God could be that good to us and want to bless us, but he says, listen, if you will just do it, I will blow your mind, but trust me to produce the fruit. Don't try to produce your own fruit because you're not going to produce that great of fruit. And the fruit you do produce that is great will only be because I let you produce that fruit. So let me be the one that brings that forth in your life. Whatever you touch, whatever you do, wouldn't it be great if everything you touch turned to gold? I mean, I'd be touching, you know, everything, you know. Why? Because we like gold. We value gold. And sometimes we value things that God calls pavement. He says, it's gold. You've missed what the value really is all about. The real value is found in relationships and through drawing close to your Father God. That's where the real value is found. So draw close to him. If we're going to be like a tree that God's created us to be, then we've got to seek him before seeking a response. Make sure that we're planted in the right soil, the house of God, so our roots can grow deep. And then we've got to trust God to produce the fruit. And that fruit is a twofold fruit, by the way. Let me give them to you and then we'll be done. And we're going to celebrate with some people who have chose to say, yes, I'm going to be the tree that God called me to be. And we're going to go to the waters of baptism. The twofold fruit is this. Number one, it's to be life-sustaining. Life-sustaining. When God gives you the fruit from his hand, it is life-sustaining. To sustain means to provide what is needed for something or someone, for them to exist. Fruit is sustaining. How many orange lovers do we have here today? Excuse me. Oranges are very good. And when you eat an orange is going to give you all the vitamins that your body's going to need so that your body can heal, so it can repair, so it can exist. It's going to sustain your body. God says, the fruit I give you as you seek me will sustain you in your spirit so that whatever you go through, you'll have exactly what you need. But the question is this morning, is he your provider? Is he your provider? You go to any local supermarket and you're not going to have somebody just show up and give them fruit. No, they are going to have to call and order that fruit in order to give what they've got. And so God says, I've got something I want, some fruit I want to produce in your life. But are you going to let me be your provider? Are you going to trust in me? Trusting that God will be the one that provides because he's my provider. Secondly, not only is it to be life-sustaining, but it's to be life-giving. In other words, whatever it is, when you say yes to Jesus and you say, I want you to be my Lord and Savior, I want you to be my provider, whatever he provides you with, you're going to have to be ready to give it away. Well, that's kind of jacked up, isn't it? I mean, the whole reason that I gave God my whole heart and life is because I wanted to get something. And now you tell me whatever I get, he's going to tell me to give it away? Yep. Well, why would I want to do that? Well, because God said so? Well, okay, beyond that, let's just forget all that. I can't forget that. I can't. I won't. You've got to do what it is that God is telling us to do, and it says that you have to give it away. In other words, look something like this. You'll find out that as you come into a relationship with Jesus, as you walk with him, you receive love. He says, now give that love away. Start sharing it. Next week, go give that love away. Invite somebody to church. Pack this place out. Why? Because God gave you his love. Go share that love with someone else. You see, God may give you forgiveness, and he's going to say, now go give it away. Oh, no. I like being forgiven. I don't like forgiving. But God's going to say, well, the fruit that I give you in your life, you're going to have to be willing to give it away. You receive joy, God says, go, give it away. Whatever you do, whatever, will prosper. When you let his spirit sustain you, give you what you need, then he may tell you to give it away. But you got to trust that anything that God tells you to give away, it's because he's got something more that he wants to store in your heart and your life. So whatever this morning you're going through, seek him first. Seek how you should respond. Seek him first, then respond, and trust that God is going to be the one that produces your fruit. And by so doing, you'll find that you don't have to work as hard at it all. You just simply obey and watch what God will do. Amen. Amen. Father, I thank you this morning for your word and your spirit. Lord, I pray today that you would, just in a special way, let a seed be planted in our hearts that will not return void. Because a seed that's planted in our heart means that if it's going to bring forth fruit, then something has to die. Lord, I pray that whatever that is that needs to die within our heart, a thought process, an addiction, whatever it might be, Lord, we would let it happen because we want something much greater from you. Lord, we want you to be our provider. We want you to be our sustainer. We want to receive your blessing, and we want to be the person that's given away so much because God is blessing us so abundantly. But Lord, that comes first when we seek you. So Father, I pray today that through your Holy Spirit, you would just lead us to where we need to be. Maybe you're here today and you don't have that relationship with God. I'm just simply going to give you an opportunity. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to make this long or drawn out. I'm just simply going to ask you this. Are you here today and you don't have a relationship with God and you need that? You find it by simply just saying yes to God. If you're here this morning and need that, just simply raise your hand and say, Pastor, that's me. And I'm going to agree in prayer with you. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to embarrass you. But you're saying, I need that relationship with Jesus. I agree with you. God sees your hand and your heart. Receive that today, the goodness and the grace. His mercy will pour over your life. Is there any other hearts here today? You say, I need that. I agree with you. God sees your hand and your heart. You receive that today in the name of Jesus. And watch how God will transform your life. Any other hearts here? I agree with you. God sees your hand and your heart. You don't have to work so hard at this. You don't need to work harder than he is. He says, this, you trust in me. And you watch how I will transform your life. I will transform your mind because of the great love that I put with inside of you. Greater is he that's within you than anything in this world. You receive that today. Is there any other hearts here today? I agree with you, my brother. God sees your hand. Big heaviness on your shoulders. But I tell you this, in the name of Jesus, that heaviness is gone. You don't have to walk with it. As a matter of fact, you've not been designed to carry it. And for the things that you took upon yourself to carry, you don't have to carry them any longer. He's a God that loves you. Not like a father loves, but like a heavenly father loves. And you receive that today in the name of Jesus. Is there any other hearts here today? Say, Pastor, that's me. I agree with you. God sees your hand and your heart. Receive that today. It's a decision you make today that you will walk out daily in your life with him. And you will find day by day by day by day, his grace will be sufficient for whatever it is that you face. Is there any other hearts here today? I agree with you. God sees your hand and your heart. Old things have passed away. Everything now, brand spanking new. Why? You don't deserve it. No, neither do I. It's because of his grace. You receive that today in the name of Jesus, knowing that he washes you clean from your sins. They've been forgiven. The slate is clear. Walk now in that forgiveness and in that freedom. Is there any other hearts? You say, that's me. I need that. I agree with you. God sees your hand and your heart. He says, welcome back. Welcome back. As a matter of fact, he's never gone anywhere. He loves you so much. He loves you so much. He loves you so much that it cannot be put into words, and that's why he went to the cross. You don't have to do anything to impress him. He is so impressed by you. And you will grow from this point forward. And you don't have to look back and say, but do you remember? Because the answer will be no. You're the one that remembers. That's why you need his grace. Walk in that grace. He gives that to you today. Just receive it and walk in it and know this. You can walk around your house and say, I am the righteousness of God. And you can mean it because you now are. You walk in that righteousness. Is there any of the hearts here today? You say, Pastor, I need to make that right. I need to make that right with the Lord. If it's tugging on your heart, it's just because it's the Holy Spirit. Okay. Let me ask this. I'm just going to pray. I'm going to pray this, that each and every one of us here today, that we will walk out of this service being the olive tree that God's called us to be. In other words, the potential, the promises, the purpose, the plan. You know what? We've been looking too long at what kind of a field we need and how we need to prepare for this. Hey, stop preparing and start doing. Plant your roots. Let them go deep, but plant them in the right soil. And so, Father, I pray today that as we leave here, we walk in the anointing and in the power of your Holy Spirit, that, Lord God, where we go, we know that every step we take, you go before us, that, Lord, everything that we see as a loss is all counted as gain when it's done in your name and for your glory. And, Lord, I pray for those times when things have come at a loss and we don't understand why, that, Lord, you would allow there to be vision that would break forth now in the name of Jesus. That, Father God, we would see that though with our eyes it doesn't make sense, we're not looking to our eyes, we're looking to your Spirit, and we're asking you to make sense of it. Lord, lead us and guide us. We pray in your name, and everyone said, amen. We're going to come to the waters of baptism. If you're not familiar with water baptism, We're just doing what the Bible tells us. Jesus exampled this in the Bible because Jesus himself went down and got water baptized by John the Baptist. It's like John the Baptist was like, what? You know, you're Jesus. You should be baptizing me. And he said, no. He said, let this thing be done. And he was showing by example that when Jesus comes and saves you, he'll call you to the waters of baptism so that you can bury the old and raise up the new. That's what we're doing here today. It's a visible, physical reminder that there is a spiritual, invisible thing that has taken place. So we rejoice with each and every person. I'm going to ask as they come on down that you can share your name, and if there's something that the Lord's placed upon your heart that doesn't take longer than 3 hours, you can share it, okay?
My name's Linda Jackson, and I'm here today because the Lord's put this on my heart. And he also told me that I need to share why I'm here. And when you hear why, you'll understand. 10 years ago, and I'm sorry, it's going to be a little.
You're fine. You warned me about this, so you go. You get a testimony.
10 years ago, I was diagnosed with bipolar disorder. And we didn't tell anyone, hardly, because just everything that's involved with it. And I did everything I was supposed to. I prayed, I read the word, I went to counseling, I took the medications. And still things got really, really, really bad. And I tried to commit suicide 3 times. And the Lord was with me. I just remember the first time I got sent to the psych ward, it was so humiliating and so awful. And it just didn't seem like things would ever get better. But just recently, the Lord just showed me he was there with me. He was there with me one of the times after a suicide attempt, and I was in the hospital, and my roommate asked, do you speak in tongues? And I said, yeah. And she said I was speaking in tongues while I was asleep, and I just thought, Lord, you said that, you know, our spirit will give groanings that we don't even know to utter. And so God's been with me, and I'm just here today because I needed to share that. And that, Pastor, everything you said today was, and the songs were just about fear, because that's one of the things that has hit me so hard through this. I'm here to put that all that behind me. The last time I was in the hospital was 5 years ago. But because of how awful it is to go through that, that spirit of fear has just been on me that when I make this declaration that it's going to come back. But God has not given me a spirit of fear, right, but of power and love and a sound mind. And I'm just claiming that when I come up out of the waters, that it's going to be gone for good. And my family won't have to go through what they've gone through, because it's just as hard for them. And the people that we did share with, I just appreciate you so much and how you've prayed. And so thank you for letting me share that. And now you all know, and it's going to be on YouTube.
I tell you what, are you ready to bury the spirit of fear, depression, and suicide? Because I believe that's exactly what's going to happen right now. We're not going to put it behind you. We're going to put it under his feet. That's exactly where it's going to go right now. And when you come out of this, you're going to be more than an overcomer, by the word of God and by his spirit. So, Linda, upon your confession and faith today in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I now baptize you in the name above all names, Jesus Christ our Lord. I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well done. Well done. Now, Linda told me she was going to be sharing that, and I said, yes, please share it. Why? Because in Revelations, it says they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. The fact that somebody's sitting here feeling depressed, I'm willing to bet there's probably 20 for every one in here that feels the same way. And you need to know you're an overcomer. Walk in that. This morning, Liz, share, even though I just shared your name. Go ahead and share your name.
Hi, I'm Liz Hamm. And I just want to say that there's been a lot of, I've had a lot of bad things happen in my life, but through the grace of God, I realize that things are better through him, mm-hmm. and everything's going well. And one day I was driving to church last fall, and it was like he spoke to me and said, it's time. And I didn't understand why you got baptized as an adult. And at that time, I realized the reasons why you get baptized as an adult, and I wanted to do it.
Amen. Amen. Well, this morning as you come, is that you're laying it, it's the seed. You're laying it, you're letting that die so new life can happen. So this morning, Liz, upon your confession of faith today in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I now baptize you in the name above all names, Jesus Christ our Lord. I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Oh, good morning. Go ahead and share your name and if there's anything you want to share.
Hi, my name is Gwen Galloway. In the last 5 years, I've been going through a lot, but God has been with me. Mm. Oh, he's been awesome to me. To me, I have so much to be grateful for. Mm. Life itself. I am so grateful that God has came into my life again, because I thought I had lost him, and I know God would never leave us. But I am so truly, truly wants to be a woman of God. Mm. I love him so much, and I love the friends that I have made in this church. I never thought I would have any friends, but I have a lot of friends, and people just come up to me and say hello, which I never thought I would have. I am grateful for God to be in my family life. My family is growing. My husband is growing. My children are growing. And one day I'm going to see my oldest ones walk in this church and praise him. That is my goal. Thank you.
Gwen, this morning, as you are ready to be baptized, no longer is it wanting to be a woman of God. When you come up out of that water, you is a woman of God, okay? All right? Gwen, upon your confession of faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I now baptize you in the name above all names, Jesus Christ our Lord. Baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Well done. I don't know about you, but I'm just seeing all this stuff being buried up here. And, sorry.
Good morning. My name is Marianne Blue. And for those that truly know me, know that I've had several rough years. A lifetime of not feeling like I am worth anything. A lifetime of being put down. A lifetime of building walls to keep people out, building walls to not reach my potential. And over the last year, God has been working on my heart. He has broken walls. He has put people in my life that has given me the confidence, the strength to believe that I am strong. I am a woman of God. And I have the ability to do whatever I set my mind to do. Mm-hmm. So watch out, world. Here I come. Because I'm on fire for the Lord. Thank you. Thank you.
You better give me that microphone back. Things getting smoking hot up here. So this morning, upon your confession and faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I now baptize you in the name above all names, Jesus Christ our Lord. I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I'm deaf in my left ear right now, but that's all right, because God's good. He'll heal my ear. Aaron, I love seeing you.
Hi, I'm Erin Goff, and I was baptized a long time ago when I was really young and unfortunately kind of got away from my faith for quite a while. And now that I have been walking with him again and with the new season coming up in my life, I just wanted to publicly declare that I love him and I'm going to walk with him for the rest of my life.
Amen. Amen. Erin, you know this, but he publicly wants you to know how much he loves you too. You're just the apple of his eye. And the decisions you make today, you're bearing some stuff that's going to stay there. New things. Erin, upon your confession of faith today, in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I baptize you in the name above all names, Jesus Christ our Lord. I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. What's happening, Jonah? Now, I understand you've got a 35-minute speech you'd like to give, right? No. Now, share your name with us.
Jonah.
Jonah. Jonah what?
Sealy.
Just in case they don't know. Jonah, I'm so proud. Is there anything you'd like to say? Anything you'd like to do? Okay. I get that. I didn't want to either when I was that age. But, Jonah, I just want you to know how proud I am of you. I know your mom and dad are very proud, too. I know you have family here. And I know the decision you make today is not because you just want to get in some water. And you just don't want to have attention. I know that your heart loves Jesus and that you just simply want to show him that. So, Jonah, as we get ready to baptize you, I want you to know something. Maybe you know this, but sometimes life can get tough. And sometimes you kind of lose track of which way's up. I want you to know when life's spinning around, always grab onto Jesus. He'll be the life preserver that brings you back up. I love your mom and dad. I love your family. And as much as I love them and love everyone else in this church, cling on to Jesus, not people. Okay? Jonah, upon your confession of faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I baptize you in the name above all names, Jesus Christ our Lord. I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Way to go, Jonah. The Lord speaks to you and says, I need to be baptized now. You run back here and get wet for Jesus, but do it if the Lord's speaking, not anything else. Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
Good.
Share your name and anything the Lord's put on your heart.
Kylie Russ.
Oh, hold on. Now you can be Kylie Russ.
Okay. I'm Kylie Russ. 11 months ago, my papa passed away, and I've always had a really close relationship with God, and after he passed away, it was hard to pray or even come to church because I lost a lot of my faith. But he put people into my life to help me through it, and he took negative people out of my life to help me through it too, and it's just time that I make our relationship stronger.
Yeah, yeah. That's a wise decision, and I tell you what, your love for your grandpa is very great, and I want you to know how much the love of Jesus, how much he has for you, and I'm proud of you for the decision you're making today as you step forward. Don't let it become something that becomes burdensome. But don't let it become something that comes stale either. You know, we do our part. You draw near to him, he'll draw near to you. So Kylie, upon your confession and faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I baptize you in the name above all names, Jesus Christ our Lord. I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All right. All right, can we just thank the Lord this morning? Stand with me this morning, will you?